Let us pray that this time can be useful. Lord, we look to you for our time together and pray that you would make it useful. You alone can make it useful, and you alone can break through darkness, resistance, dullness, sleepiness, distraction, and bring forth something which is light, truth, and life. And so we ask, Lord, that you would work for your own praise and honour and glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're continuing our journey through the Acts of the Apostles. And what has happened has been what? Tell me what happened in chapter 2. I didn't hear what you said, but my answer was, and maybe it was your answer, the church was born. That's what happened. And this is an extraordinary thing that has come into being, something that has never existed before. And it is the beginning of something which is still going on. You know, if you throw a pebble into a pond, the ripples go out and out and out. Well, the pebble was dropped in the pond at Pentecost, and the ripples are still being felt. Here we are. We are here because of what happened that day. Last time we talked about Peter. They began to speak with other languages, and then Peter stood up and he preached to the people, and 3,000 people were converted. How were they converted? They believed in Jesus because they heard the message that was preached, and that same message has continued to be preached ever since. So what was Peter's message? Peter's message was, this Jesus whom you've crucified is the Lord and is Christ. He is the anointed one, and he is the Lord, meaning that he is the judge, and he is the one to be obeyed. He has all authority, as he said, in heaven and on earth. So that was Peter's proclamation, and the crowd's reaction when they heard this, because of their guilt, they said, what shall we do? We have crucified the Messiah. And Peter's answer wasn't simply go to church, but was to be saved from this crooked or this wicked generation. It's like the ship is sinking. It's time to get off. There is a lifeboat, and the lifeboat is Christ. So that was Peter's message. And as a result of that, people were transformed. Many, it says, all who believed were together and had everything in common. Suddenly these people who might have been selfish or whatever, suddenly everything is different. And now they're sharing everything they've got, and even sharing it with strangers. And this new life was prompted by new love, which had come into them when the Holy Spirit came to them. They now were looking at these people who they once would have said, these are just fellow Jews, I don't speak their language, they're from another part of the empire or something like that. Now they're looking at them with love, because there's now a bond between them, and the bond is being forged by Christ, by their faith in Christ, and by the Spirit who dwells in them. So at the very beginning, without anybody telling them what to do, there's an outbreak of love. A fire has started to burn, and this fire is exactly the fire that Jesus said would mark his disciples. I think you heard about that last week, didn't you? When Abraham was here last week, he spoke about love as being characteristic of the believers. And it says the Lord added to the church daily, and we know that the Lord added a lot on the first day, 3,000 people. So this little group, which was 120, which was a good-sized group, I suppose, but this little group suddenly became 3,120. And we read in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2 that many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That's in verse 43. It says, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So now we've come to Acts chapter 3. And in chapter 3, we read about one of these wonders and signs. What's a sign?
It points you to something.
Exactly. A sign is pointing. And so when the apostles did miracles, these were signs that were pointing to something or someone. Notice that it says many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And when we go back into Matthew chapter 10, when the Lord Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, it says, and Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So way back then, this is a couple of years before Pentecost, the Lord Jesus gave power to the apostles, the 12 apostles, 12 disciples at that time, to cast out demons and to heal sicknesses. And so they had this power, and they were doing this for a couple of years. But the Lord told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received power. So what does he mean by that? If he'd already given them power, why did he tell them to wait in Jerusalem until they received power through the Holy Spirit coming to them? The power that he was talking about wasn't the power to do miracles, but it was the power to preach the word of God in a manner that brought conviction and brought fruitfulness and brought revelation. That's what he was talking about. So we have a story here in chapter 3, and I'll just read through chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 10. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they daily laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So he's a beggar. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So Peter and John go up to the temple, and it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So what the Jews did was they said, there's daylight and there's darkness, day and night. And the day was divided into 12 hours. It didn't matter whether it was summer or winter. The day was 12 hours. So the day increases in length, of course, during the summer. But just for them, that just meant the hours increased in length. So the ninth hour, starting at about 6 o'clock in the morning, that's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And this was the hour of prayer. Are they going up to pray and to make sacrifices? I don't think so. Because in chapter 2, we read verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So this is where the Christians were gathering, in the temple. The temple was a smallish building. Only the priests could enter the temple. But around the temple was a big courtyard and a lot of space. And so that was the place that people gathered. So they're going up there probably to meet with the other believers who are there. And it says there is this man who is a beggar and who's laid each day. Remember, it says they lay him daily there. And he's never walked in his life. And so it's something with his feet. His legs are okay, but his feet are no good. And he just can't walk on his feet. So he is laid daily there and he begs. He was there every day. Why would he go to the temple to beg? Well, because if people are going into the temple to worship God, maybe their heart's a little bit softer and they may be a little bit more generous. So Peter and John come to him, and Peter says to him, I don't have silver and gold, but I do have what I do have, I will give to you. Do you remember something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, where he sent out the disciples? He gave them a rule, and the rule was, freely you have received, freely give. The gift of God is never to be sold. It is always to be given. So Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What a wonderful title. Jesus is the name. Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. And then he says, of Nazareth. So he's speaking about a man. He could have said Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Messiah. So he's not speaking about, well, I could put it this way. What registered with this man when he heard this? He's talking about a human. He's talking about a man, Jesus of Nazareth. And this man is the Messiah. That's what he was saying. Now, would this beggar have known about Jesus? For sure he would have. He would have heard about him. He would have heard about the crucifixion. He probably would have been here when the Lord Jesus rode on the donkey into the temple area, into the Jerusalem, and went up into the temple. He certainly would have known when Jesus went into the temple and threw out all the money changers. You wouldn't miss that. He was here daily. Now Peter and John come to him. Jesus has been crucified, and he's heard rumors that they say that Jesus is risen from the dead. Peter and John come to him and says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Something happens in him. And Peter says it takes him by the hand and lifts him up. And so you could imagine, with caution, he sort of stands. And then he finds that his feet are actually working. And what we read here, remember who wrote Acts? Who wrote Acts? Luke. What's Luke? He's a doctor. Hear this? And his feet and ankle bones. You know, he didn't say, and he could walk. This doctor says, his feet, and something happened to his ankles, you know. They received strength. And so it says he was leaping up, and he was kind of dancing and jumping. Leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him. It is so simple and so clear. This man saw in his heart the truth of Christ risen, that he was the anointed one. And he put his trust in him. He believed in him. And when he did that, he was healed. And he didn't jump up and down and say, Peter is marvelous. John is wonderful. His whole heart was praising God who had healed him. He knew enough to understand that Peter and John didn't heal him, that it was God who healed him. and he was full of thanksgiving and gratitude. And he clung to Peter and John, who'd brought such a gift and a blessing to him. And all the people, while he hung to them, all the people were completely astounded, and a crowd gathers. What's going on? What's happened? Because they recognized this beggar. He was there every day. They knew him. And when Peter saw the crowd gathered, Peter saw something else. He saw an opportunity to preach the gospel. And so when he saw it, he spoke to the people. And this is what he said. Now, I have here that. And what I'm going to ask is that we make small groups, whatever group you like. Take one of these, take a pen, and go through this together and try and understand it. You know what the privilege here is? The privilege is to go back to the first century. This may be a day or a week or whatever after Pentecost. We can go back to that time and listen to what they were saying and see whether we understand this message and how do we respond to this message. So, Eunice will hand out these papers and Jess will offer you a pen. And we've got three tables at the back and we've got one table here. So, I know this is, we haven't done this before, but hey, that's not stopping us, is it? So, if you want to make a small group of whoever you want, be with your friends, be with whoever, and get together. Oh, I didn't mention, on the back of the sheet, there are some questions about the text. So, first of all, just read through and see if you can follow it, see if you get it. And then we'll then have a look at the questions and then together we'll get back together again and we'll talk about the questions and see if we can understand, if we can follow what he said.